Well, I hope that song is true. You know, as you sang that song or you even look at the words, I love when we sing scripture because that's exactly what you just did. You basically sang from John chapter 4 all the way to John chapter 15. What an amazing song that is, and really brings us to the Gospel of John, which we are at in our series, in the I Am series. This morning we are in the Good Shepherd passage. As Jesus continues this theme, the door, which makes him a good shepherd, and then literally saying, I am the good shepherd. So turn to John chapter 10, if you have a copy of God's word with you. And let's start in verse 11. God's word says, John writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's the hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock. One shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon, he's insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? As you read this passage, it should be understood when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is not simply saying he's a good shepherd. As others might be. But he is the unique good shepherd. Why is that so? Well, the Greek word translated good here in our New Testament describes one who is completely unique. See, there's two words for the way you can use the word good. Agathos, which we have the name Agatha, which is the word for good. It's morally good. The word used here is a completely different, unique word for good. Because that's exactly what Jesus is. Unique. Not only is he wholesome and good and beautiful, the word good here signifies a unique goodness. An inherent goodness, a righteousness. John MacArthur, in his commentary on this passage, he emphasizes the importance that we understand the good shepherd and what that means. He writes this, he says, the emphasis for this phrase should be in the Greek translation, I am the shepherd, the good one. It's very important, MacArthur says, the order here. I am the shepherd, the good one. Because he is contrasting himself with any and every other shepherd. Especially those in chapter 9, which he is writing as the bad ones. They are bad because the very man that Jesus healed from his blindness, This very man who put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ was kicked out of the synagogue by those very shepherds because of what Jesus did. Jesus is the unique good shepherd. He is the excellent shepherd. That's the idea here. He's not just another shepherd. Ezekiel prophesied, by the way, about these bad shepherds that Jesus is talking about. Look at Ezekiel chapter 34. He says this. He says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to these shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed my sheep. The weak you haven't strengthened. The sick you haven't healed. The injured you haven't bound up. The strayed you've not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and hardness, you have ruled them." So what happens to the sheep? Well, they're scattered because there's no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts, the wolves that Jesus is talking about. My sheep are scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and over every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all of the face of the earth with no one to search or seek for them. Oh, but there will be a good one that comes. Ezekiel prophesies about him. Look with me at Ezekiel verses 11 through 16. "For thus says the Lord God," listen to this, "behold, I myself search for my sheep. I will seek them out." See the uniqueness of this great shepherd? As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that they have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And praise God, he did. "I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them among the countries. And I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be the grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing, rich pasture. They shall feed in the mountains of Israel. I myself," this unique good shepherd, this Messiah, the anointed one, "will be the shepherd of the sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed." This is our unique shepherd. This is why Jesus says he is the good shepherd. He's the good one. When we studied the book of Hebrews, the author makes the point as we read through that book, that Jesus is better. Remember? Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Melchizedek. Jesus is better. That's what the letter of Hebrews wants to emphasize. Well, the Gospel of John does the very same thing. The Gospel of John wants you to know that Jesus is better. He makes the point, actually, in this I am statements. For example, when Jesus says, "I am the bread," what he's saying is, "I'm better than Moses." Even though Moses provided bread in the wilderness. "I am the bread. I'm better." He said in previous chapters, chapter 9, he's better than Abraham. How? Because Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am. He was referencing the fact that he is even better than Abraham. And then in our passage this morning, in John chapter 10, what Jesus is saying is, I am better than David. And in Israel, David was the king of all kings, the shepherd of all shepherds. And Jesus is saying, I'm the unique one. I'm better than David. I am the Messiah prophesied in Ezekiel. I am the good one. Well, that brings me to our passage this morning, and I want us to consider three things. Consider three things why Jesus is the good one. Why Jesus is the unique shepherd that we all need to follow. Well, the first thing that I see is that he says he's going to lay down his life. He did lay down his life. Look at verses 11 through 13, 15, 17, and 18. You're going to see a familiar phrase. He says, I'm going to lay down my life. The good shepherd lays down his life. Continue on. Go to the next passage. I will, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life. Keep going. And for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down. And I have the authority to lay it down. Why is Jesus the unique good shepherd? Because he is going to lay down his life for us. The word life here, every time it's used, it's important to understand this. It's the Greek word sukkah. Now, what does that mean? Why is that important? Well, sometimes in Scripture, they use the word bios, which just means life in general. Any animal, four-legged creature or that, is bios. It's life. They walk around. But Jesus always uses the word, referring to himself, in the Greek word sukkah, which means it embodies everything that makes a human, their soul, their intellect, everything. And what Jesus is saying is, I lay down everything for you. When he says, I gave my soul, I gave my everything, he wants us to know that he felt every single pain. He suffered on the cross for you and I. He suffered. He felt pain. He can relate, not in our sin, but in our suffering. The same word he actually used, that sukkah, is found in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Look at it used here. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his soul, his life, everything that made Jesus, Jesus, as a ransom for many. This is why Jesus is the unique one. This is why Jesus is the good one. The good shepherd loves his sheep, and he is willing to suffer for them, to die for them. The theological term is called substitutionary atonement. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. It means that Jesus gives his life as a ransom for the penalty of our sin. If we do not have this substitutionary atonement, we are all dead in our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I think, best illustrates substitutionary atonement. Listen to what Paul writes by inspiration. He says, for our sake, this is our good shepherd, for our sake, he, God the Father, made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, Jesus Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Do you see the transaction? See, we give God our penalty. We give God our sin. And in turn, He gives you his perfection, his righteousness, the very thing you need to get to heaven. Without the substitutionary atonement, we are dead in our sins. That's why Jesus is the good one. I love what Paul says. He says in Romans chapter 5, he says this, but God shows his love for us. Look at the substitutionary atonement here. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Look at verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Peter would talk about this same this substitutionary atonement. He himself bore our sins on his body, on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Referencing Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus is the good one. Jesus is the good shepherd because he died for us. Jesus did for us that which we could never do for ourselves. Jesus is the good one. His death was completely, the scripture says, completely voluntary. Jesus was not some helpless pawn. Acts chapter 2 says this, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Jesus laid down his life willingly, voluntarily. Why is Jesus the good one, the unique one? Because he laid down his life for us voluntarily. Check this out. If in these times, why this reference is so important, especially to in Old Testament or New Testament times, a lot of shepherds would be around. But if a shepherd, if during this time a shepherd dies, oftentimes what would happen is the sheep would just go everywhere. They would completely, the sheep were completely vulnerable because the shepherd took care of the sheep. And so they would hear his voice. Now they're not hearing his voice. So what happens when you can't hear the shepherd's voice and the shepherd's not leading you to the pasture? He's not feeding you. Well, the sheep would typically, they'd either die or they would be so scattered that wolves would come get them. That's how important the shepherd was. So why is Jesus the unique shepherd? All shepherds did that. Here's the difference, what Jesus wants us to know. Jesus died, but what makes him unique is he rose again. He's still alive. And because he's alive, he can still speak to his sheep. All other shepherds die, but not the unique one. Not the good one. And we should praise God for that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says this, she, meaning Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He is the good one, for he lays down his life for his sheep. Secondly, we see not only does he lay down his life for his sheep, but he knows his sheep. Now, we've already said this last week if you were here when referencing the door. But again, I just want you to remind you how important it is that he knows you personally. Look at verses 3 through 5 again, just to kind of highlight this. The sheep hear the voice. He calls his own sheep by name. The sheep follow him. They know his voice. Keep going. And then verse 14 in our passage this morning. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I think another parallel actually to this is where we read Psalm 23. This is a very familiar psalm, but let me just read Psalm 23 and See if you see this idea of this personal relationship we have with the Good Shepherd. That is, if you have that. But listen to what David says. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And then look at all the he makes, he leads, he... Listen to this relationship he has with the Lord. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Why is Jesus the good one? Why is Jesus the good shepherd? Because he is a personal shepherd. He's not distant. Do you see that? Do you see Jesus this way? That you could talk to him at any time, any place, anywhere? He desires such a personal relationship with his sheep. That's why he's the good one. I try to remember names. And I don't do a really good job all the time. There's people I've known for years, and I'll, for some reason, call them a different name. Jesus will never do that. He knows you by name. That's what makes him a good one. He lays down his life for his sheep. He knows his sheep. And lastly, why is Jesus the good one? Well, because he brings me and you in. And what do I mean by that? What do I mean by he unites us all? Why is Jesus the good one? Well, you have to understand God's salvation plan, which started back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when Adam and Eve sinned, and we have the proto-evangelion, we have the first gospel presentation where God tells Adam and Eve that he will send a good shepherd to die for the sins of mankind to restore what Adam and Eve broke. He's going to destroy what Satan did. I love what Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says. He says, "Since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself will partake of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death." That is the devil. See, this is how the plan started. The pronoun used in Genesis 3:15, if you go back, the pronoun he refers to Jesus. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. After the fall, reading through all of Genesis, God would choose a certain people called Israel. These would be his chosen people by which the line of Jesus, the Messiah, would come through. This is God's plan. Romans chapter 9, verse 5, just so you know, the God's word says this. "To them belong the patriarchs," that's Israel, "and from their race, Israel, according to the flesh, will come Christ." And so the Jews viewed that their selection as this national identity, we are God's chosen people, that everybody else, including me and you, Gentiles, are completely unclean. We weren't chosen by God, and thus they should cast us off. Several times in Scripture, including in our passage today, in verse 16, go to verse 16, when Jesus says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. What Jesus is referring to here is me and you. Jesus didn't come for just the Jews. Jesus came for all of mankind who would put their faith and trust in him. You know why he's the good one? The unique one? Because he did this for us. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, this very prayer, right? Hours before he would go to the cross for our sins, Jesus prayed this: I do not ask for these only, that's the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Did you know, Gentile here, you are a product believer, Gentile believer here, like myself. You are a product of the disciples sharing the good news. So I guess my question on that would be is this. Are you an answer to this prayer yet? If you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have believed that he did die on the cross for your sins and rose again, then you're an answer to this prayer. Some of you can be today. There is one flock, and there is one shepherd. He is the unique one. He is the good one. Anyone who hears his voice, whether you're 5 or 65, black or white, rich or poor, in China or in Syria, in the U.S. or in Pakistan, there is one flock, and all who trust him are followers of the Good Shepherd. So why is Jesus the good one? He lays down his life. He knows us. He unites us all that are in Christ. So what's the application? Well, we'll throw them up there. Honestly, I think I could have this application every single week, because it's still true. It always should be our application. But I think it goes with what we're saying here. So if Jesus lays down his life for you, if you have put your faith and trust in him, shouldn't our application to be to live in gratitude today? Like how many of you, and this isn't meant to be like condemning, but just consider this. How often do you wake up in the morning saying, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins? Could I have you consider doing that on a regular basis and see what God does to your gratitude in life? Maybe some of the things that you're going through, not that they won't be hard, not that they won't still have suffering and pain, but maybe, just maybe, Jesus will give you the peace and the joy in the circumstance that you need. Live in gratitude for what Jesus has done for you. Jesus laid down his life for you. He died for your sins. One way we live in gratitude is we don't minimize our sins then. We don't take lightly the things that we're still sinning with. What living in gratitude is a continual confession, repentance, and repeating that. That's living in gratitude. I think we should also live in humility. If he knows us, follower of Jesus Christ, if he knows you, this should humble you. Remember Psalm 23? Is this the story of your relationship with God? He's the good shepherd. He's your personal Lord and Savior. He is the unique one. Does your relationship look like that? Do you talk with him? Listen to him? Respond to what he says? If he knows us, I think this should humble us. And then finally, I think because he unites us all, I think a great application to that fact is that we should live for opportunities. What are these opportunities? The opportunities are to share what people need is a good shepherd. This isn't for a specific kind of person. This is for all people. When we know that Jesus is uniting everyone, anyone who is a sinner, and who's a sinner? All of us. So who is Jesus for? All of us. And if he desires to save people from their sins, our responsibility is to tell them about the good one. To share with them that Jesus has died for their sins. And yes, they have to acknowledge that they are sinners. Jesus can be both loving and not condoning of our behaviors. He loved us by dying for us. We have an opportunity to share that with as many people that God puts around us. So my application for that one would be is, who are you praying for that you might have the opportunity to share with people about the good one, the good shepherd? Jesus is the good shepherd. And our lives should reflect that he truly is the unique good one in our lives. Let's pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to walk through your word in this very familiar passage. And I pray, Lord, that this familiar passage leads people to a greater understanding of how unique you truly are, how good you truly are, and that our lives just would reflect how beautiful you are. Jesus, do your work in your church for your glory. For it's in your name I pray. And all God's people said,
amen.